Let us now turn to another portion of God's holy word, the prophecies of Ezekiel. As we will read from Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel comes right after Jeremiah. Ezekiel 34. And we'll begin reading at verse 11 to the end of that chapter. And the theme for this day will be sheep and shepherds. And here we certainly have part of that theme already, beginning at verse 11 of Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you may tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters that must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they shall eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them from the hand of those who enslave them. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them. But they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them. And they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. so far, the reading of this portion of God's Word. And then we turn to Zephaniah. Zephaniah. And as we look into our Bibles, we will have... chapter 3, and you can find it in your pew Bible, page 830. Zephaniah chapter 3, and then page 831 actually, verse 13b. For they shall feed their flocks, speaking of shepherds, for they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. So far then, the reading of God's holy word. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look very carefully at our text passage, you no doubt have already concluded that yes, what we have here is a beautiful pastoral scene. A pastoral scene in which we see the shepherd and we see some sheep. And I may tell you already that this is then the theme not only for this morning, but also to a great extent this afternoon as well. Now this pastoral scene is something that should be attractive to each one of us. And it is something that I think if you would see that visually, if you go to the country and you see sheep there and shepherds, and I've had the privilege of seeing that in Israel, in fact, but when you see that, you just want to be there as well. You would just like to stand next to this shepherd for a while and see how he or she, sometimes there are women who are shepherdesses, as well, but how they operate and how they communicate with the sheep and how the sheep communicate with the shepherd. And so it is a pastoral scene that we have here before us as well. And it is for good reason that we read in Scripture a good number of times how the Lord refers to Himself as the shepherd and His people as sheep. And we have it both in the Old Testament, as we have read of this morning, and you have that also in the New Testament, particularly in John chapter 10. Now, by the words of our text, or just before the words of our text, we actually read of some difficult matters, some difficult situations. I won't go into that very much, but some very fearful things were said to the people of Israel, because of their sinful departure from the Lord. And yes, no doubt you and I, we know that if we go in the track of sin, we can expect troubles. We can expect difficulties. We can expect judgments. And that is also what the Israelites could expect. However, and this is a blessed however, the Lord is gracious. And that is what we see also in this verse, because just prior to it, there was all sounds of judgment and rumblings and so on. But then here in our text, we have the Lord God speaking, they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Well, that speaks of the great shepherd amongst us and amongst the people. And so, that is what I want to consider with you this morning. The great shepherd at work. That's our theme for this hour. The great shepherd at work. First of all, he feeds his sheep. Secondly, he gets them to lie down. And then thirdly, he makes them unafraid. Now, as you know, it is one of the regular tasks of a shepherd to feed his flock. And this would often take him or her far from home. They would often have to travel far into the country with his flock, following directly behind him. And the shepherd knows that in order for his sheep to be well fed, he needs to be very careful to show them, to direct them, and to, as it were, put them there in order to be well fed. And he also knows that well-fed sheep are content sheep. So, the shepherd's task, therefore, is to feed his sheep. And if he is a good shepherd, then it will also be his desire to do so. And this is what we hear already about the Lord Jesus Christ from his very own words, because he himself desires to feed his flock. A good shepherd, you see, loves his flock. He does not want to see any of his sheep go hungry at any time. He takes a personal interest in every single one of them. And at one time, I read about a shepherd who actually had a name for each one of his sheep as well. And so, there is a close relationship between shepherd and sheep. And as I said already, the shepherd takes a personal interest in each and every sheep. And he does so in order that the big ones get enough, but also that the little ones do not get pushed aside and away from the feeding. So he wants to make sure that every one of his sheep gets adequate feeding. He takes care of each one of them because he loves each one of them. Besides, it would be a mark against his abilities as shepherd if any of his sheep would ever go hungry. He would, in fact, be a failure as a shepherd if he was not able to get them into good pastures. He would soon have big trouble on his hands as well because, well, sheep, they are prone to wander. They easily become restless. Not to mention, they easily become weak when they lack food. Well, now, the Lord Jesus, as you know, is declared to be the good shepherd. His greatness lies in the very ability to feed his sheep, his people. Not one of them ever needs to grow hungry. Not one of them would ever have to say, I lack food. After all, his word, and now we're speaking in a general, in a spiritual sense, his word is the spiritual food for each of his shepherds, for each of his sheep rather. The word, you see, is food for the soul. The food is never far away from them. It should be close at hand. An open Bible is, as it were, the dish, the plate where the food is offered to you on a regular basis. And as the great shepherd, he then also assures us at the same time that this food is always good. It is always good for us. But as you know, he feeds them not only with his word, though it is very precious, but even more precious is, he feeds them with himself. Now that's different from the shepherds in the fields. They will feed their sheep with grass, but they cannot feed their sheep with themselves. But the Lord Jesus Christ can. He gives himself as the living bread and as the water of life, so that they may be nourished with Jesus Christ. And therefore, a sheep of the Lord Jesus learns by experience, therefore, that not only is the Word a daily ration for them, but He, the shepherd Himself, is for them the food and the drink, the nourishment and the satisfaction. And that is therefore how our hearts are lifted up, not only towards the Word, but towards the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, his sheep are busy feasting on him, as it could be heard to say as well, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, by way of this Lord's Supper, as it is prepared for us by way of this Lord's Supper. This great good shepherd calls you to banquet with him. And he says, come. Come and feed. The pastures are green. Come and feed. And you need what he has to offer. You need it very much. Remember this as well. It is his fervent desire that you would feed at a place that he has chosen. He, after all, said it once to his disciples, didn't he? With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And therefore, we have this banquet in front of us this hour. And it is still his great pleasure that you would eat with him and eat from him, as it were, as he is the invisible host at this table. But now, secondly, let me say something about how he gets them to lie down. I've read from experts in regard to sheep and shepherds that it is not easy for sheep to lie down. Pangs of hunger will keep sheep on their feet. Insects buzzing around them, getting caught up in their wool, will also keep them on their feet. A disturber sheep, or we could also call it a bullying sheep, will keep them on their feet. And finally, fear. Fear of not seeing the shepherd, or not being close enough to the shepherd. Fear will be enough to keep sheep on their feet. Well, this hour, the great shepherd desires that his sheep might lie down and find rest. We have sung about rest as well. We long for that sort of rest. Now, dear people, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to recline, not decline, but recline in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to recline in the faith of the knowledge that he is your great good shepherd. And you can only do that when you are well fed. Therefore, do not expect any sort of spiritual comfort and any sort of spiritual strengthening of faith if you cannot get yourself to come to the table. You cannot expect any strengthening, any nourishing then. Perhaps you have found yourself restless of late. You found yourself very quickly disturbed for some reason or other. Not able to find rest in the Lord. Not able to find rest in the Word of the Lord. Not able to find rest in the promises that He gives. Well, I would suggest you need to be nourished and fed at the table. And when you do plan to come, and I hope you do, when you do plan to come, don't let the evil one unsettle you with those insects of negative thoughts that might come swirl around you and in your mind. Also, do not let anyone else disturb your peace. Don't let them disturb you as to what they might think about you. In spiritual matters, we must not go for any of these bullying tactics. Let the Lord Jesus Christ, your great shepherd, take care of such things. And he will. He wants you to lie down, so to speak. And whatever might disturb you, whatever might unsettle you, can be safely left with him, the good shepherd. He'll take care of things. He will. He knows that you at times, more than at any other time, that you need to lie down. That is, you need to rest in your faith in him. After all, he is the one that takes care of you, doesn't he? He takes care of you. The great shepherd therefore calls you to come and feed and be nourished and find rest and comfort through the Lord's Supper. Third place, the great shepherd is able to make you unafraid. So we read of that in our text as well. No one, speaking there of the sheep, no one shall make them afraid. And there are people, this is one of the one of the many blessings of being under the care of this great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to be afraid of anything or anyone. Also, you don't need to be afraid of coming to the Lord's Supper. The great shepherd, after all, he invites you to it. He calls you to it. And I say this for reason, but because perhaps this would be the first time for you to come to the table. Perhaps it's the first time after a long absence. Perhaps there has been hesitations with you, some fear of what will people say if I go to the table. Well, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you've learned to cast or roll all your burdens upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know what it means to confess His name and His name alone, then and that you need His saving powers, then don't be afraid to come to the table of the Lord. Perhaps you're afraid to come because you think that your faith is not strong enough yet and that you need to see it built up first. Or you're afraid because you know of yourself, you're not perfect yet, you're not sinless yet. Well, I can tell you, these are precisely the reasons why you should come to the table of the Lord. Because you are not perfect yet. You are not sinless yet. But you may grow towards it through being fed and nourished. So these are precisely the reasons why you should come. Do not be afraid. Perhaps you are afraid of that big word, judgment, found in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29, where it says, "He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now, this happens only to those who have failed to examine themselves in the light of God's uncovering word and who have basically said inside of their hearts, "Who cares?" They should worry about judgment. This only happens to those who worship carelessly and participate carelessly. This is what is called eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. Eating and drinking carelessly. And of course, this is a warning. Yes, a warning has to be extended as well. Coming to the Lord's table without having thought at all, without having studied yourself, without having prepared yourself. Carelessness is one of the great dangers, you see, in terms of judgment. When you do not read the Word of God regularly, when you do not pray as you ought to pray, when a carelessness is set in, that is when you have to worry about judgment. Yet, the Lord is so gracious. Will you come to Him, even in prayer at this moment? But at the same time, if you do feel unworthy within yourselves because of weakness of faith, because of the struggles that you have deep down inside of you, but as you continue to look to the Savior for help, I would dare say that's enough worthiness to come to the table of the Lord. Therefore, do not be afraid to come. And finally, do not be afraid of possible attacks of the evil one. He would want you to stay away from the table of the Lord. And He'll attack you in various ways. But be assured that your shepherd will take care of the evil one as well. And He has already, hasn't He? When the Lord Jesus Christ slew him while He hung on the cross. That is, when the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life in order to slay the evil one. He did so when He laid down His life for you, His sheep. This hour the great shepherd calls all of His sheep who have confessed His name publicly to come and to gather around this table. Come and feed, so He says. Come and lie down, so to speak. That is, rest in Him. Come and do not be afraid. And why can you be so confident that this is indeed true? Because by our text, the Lord God has already shown what sort of promise He has for His sheep. they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. May the Lord also be that for us as well. Let us close with prayer. O great Shepherd, we come to you also at the end of this morning service to thank and to praise you, to honor you, to look to you with sheep eyes, because you are our great Shepherd. We thank you for feeding and nourishing us. We thank you that you have taken care of us, that we could quietly rest, that we could recline in our faith in you, that we needed not to be afraid of anything. We thank you, O great Shepherd, for all that you have done for us also when you died on the cross, when you gave your life so that we may live and find everything in you. We thank you, O great Shepherd of the sheep, that even in the face of our enemies, you have done abundantly good for us and to us. And we do pray that as you are presently preparing a home for us, an eternal home, grant that each one of us may look forward to that day when we may enter in and see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Shepherd, on the face of God. And so bless us, we pray. Dismiss us in your favor. Grant that we may travel safely and come back again later on this afternoon to hear again from your word and to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.